Welcome back to the Ride and Laugh podcast. If you love mountain biking, you are in the right place. Picture your last group ride. You're back at the lot. You're talking about the ride. You're talking about bikes. You're talking about tech. You're talking about progression. You're having a great time. The stoke is high. That is what we do here every week on the Ride and Laugh podcast. You're a mountain biker. You're one of us. Let's drop in. Sage, how are you, sir?
Man, I am on cloud nine. Once again, this is the second week, I guess, that we have been open to the public. Is that even the right way to say it? But like, oh my gosh, the reception has been amazing. The YouTube channel is up to like something like 460 views with like 71 subscribers. We have like 326 downloads across all podcasting platforms. And the second, I mean, I know you probably assumed that the US was our biggest market, but Canada coming in with 11 downloads, like what, to our Canadian friends. Yes.
Awesome mountain biking in Canada. I mean, come on. Quebec. Totally got to get up there. Quebec.
Yes.
On the bucket list. We're going to have a bucket list show. And spoiler alert, Quebec is on, I would say, number one on both stages of my list. Is that accurate?
Yeah, dude. That place probably suits our riding the best in terms of just like huge rock slabs.
Looks awesome.
Oh, the tech there.
It looks just awesome. Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. We saw a BKXC video there like probably 2, 3, 4 years ago. I don't remember, but blew our minds when they opened up Slab City. And then since then, there's just been a parade of YouTubers going there. And they're like my favorite videos. The tech there is just looks absolutely amazing. I just saw Dusty Trails there. And he was riding some of the stuff that I had seen, like Remy ride it really fast. And he turned around and you see how steep some of that stuff is.
Oh,
like, gulp. But it looks awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
So, yeah. Thank you, Canada. And still, plenty of ton of riding in the U.S. A lot of the places on our bucket list in the U.S. too. So, thank you, everyone, for listening and viewing on YouTube and commenting. And we've gotten a lot of emails. We've gotten a ton of comments on the YouTube channel.
Yes.
The reception has been really, really good and really positive. And it's really exciting because we love doing this. And if you enjoy listening, then that's awesome.
Yeah, Danny, did we get any good comments this week?
We did get some good comments. Oh, one more thing I wanted to point out is that this is episode number 7, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, this would be 7, yes.
When Sage and I were starting the podcast, we did some research into podcasting. And it said most podcasts don't even make it to episode number 7. They don't have enough to talk about. We can't end this thing. I mean, we can't even like wrap up one show. We're always going late. So we got plenty to talk about. But here we are. We've made it to number 7. Sky's the limit. It's happening. Thank you all for listening. Let's get into some listener feedback and a lot of really great stuff. I'm just going to choose a few of them. S. Mendez talks about really loving the content and being a newer rider, really appreciated us defining some terms like casing and that sort of thing. So we kind of made an effort to do that. And it's nice to know that, we're inclusive. We want everyone to know what we're talking about and know these mountain bike terms. You're part of the community. You're listening to us.
Yeah.
You're part of the mountain bike community. If you're spending an hour to listen to a mountain bike podcast, you love mountain biking. I got news for you. Mm-hmm. Alex Zuev, not sure I'm saying that right, but really enjoying the pod. And on the nutrition episode, which got some really interesting and very cool feedback, talked about doing a 24-hour race on carbs in 2019. And now he's fat adapted and he's doing a 24-hour race low carb later on this year. And I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah,
24-hour ride. Or race, really. I mean, I can't even imagine riding for 24 hours, let alone racing it. But super, super interested and excited to hear how that goes for him. He was strict carnivore for 7 months at one point, and then added in some sweet potatoes after rides. So, you know, it's very individualistic, which we'll talk about some more. Everyone's body is differently, acts differently. But that was really, really cool. He's a Canadian rider, by the way.
Hey.
Jim Mancy said, again, appreciates the podcast and talks about his fasting and has really gotten into the intermittent fasting, 18-hour fasts, and at 62 feels really strong and healthy. And he really appreciated when I tell the listeners that you guys are awesome, because we're all awesome, because the human body is amazing. And that resonated with him. And he said that he's gone through some low points in his life, and mountain biking's been there for him. And we can all relate to that. And if you're listening to this podcast and you love mountain biking, or you're getting into it, it's here for you. We're here for you.
But hey, Jim's just met the guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he's met the guy. Love him. Yeah, good guy.
All right. David Greenblatt asked, he enjoyed the nutrition, and he asked if we were going to do a training podcast soon. And he said he came out of the winter, and he's been using Trainer Road, but he feels like he was coming out a little bit sluggish. So we could talk about maybe overtraining versus undertraining and hitting that sweet spot, and also peaking, right, at the right time. Sage is famously a winter peaker.
Yeah. I'm peaking.
Yeah. I think that's because in the winter you don't need to drink, and you're horrible at hydrating.
Yes. So true. Yeah.
And Brian Healy said that the show reminds him of the old NPR show called Car Talk. I don't know if you ever heard that, Sage, but it was hilarious. These two really smart old mechanics, and they would take in calls from people with car issues, and then they would like troubleshoot the calls on the radio. I used to listen to it back in the day. I always thought it was so funny, but he said we're like that, but for mountain bike shredding instead. So
I'll take
anyone that's ever heard Car Talk. You have to be in your upper 40s and have listened to NPR at one point. That's before like internet radio or Sirius XM or anything. Yeah. You know, just like desperately looking for something interesting to listen to. But that was really cool. And then our friend Victoria from the Mount Penn riding area, also an amazing artist. If you check her out on Instagram,
I should have looked
up what her handle is. But yeah, she's really talented. And she had some feedback on the nutrition podcast as well. And she was asking why we didn't get more into the vegetarian or vegan plant-based approach.
Okay.
And I responded to her in an email, and going to do a little bit on the pod here as well. And the main reason that we didn't get into that is because Sage and I are not vegetarian vegans. That's not our style. So we're certainly not experts in that. And we're talking about what works for us. And we really wanted to talk about keeping an open mind. What we really wanted to talk about, and it sounds from Victoria's emails that we're on the same page, is to eat whole foods. And to move away from, you know, the sugar addiction and the processed food, and also getting fat adapted. And you can do that as a vegan. So there's, you know, I can't say this enough times. Everybody is unique. Everybody's different. What works for one person may or may not work for another person. I think there's general things for the human body that are going to work for everybody. And eating garbage processed food is not one of them. And as far as our nutritional advice, you know, we say it in the beginning of the podcast, picture yourself in a parking lot. So if you're willing to take nutritional advice from two guys in a parking lot, then this is your show. But we're not doctors. You make your own decisions. So if you're feeling good, that's great. We just want to open up some possibilities. But we're just two guys in a parking lot. We got a podcast, we got a microphone. It doesn't make us experts. So everybody do whatever makes you feel the best, and everything's cool. Everything's cool. So everyone be healthy and strong, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being healthy and strong on the bike, and then in life. You know, it always goes back to both. So thank you everyone that wrote or commented. That's awesome. We love getting the feedback, and I can't bring up everybody's comment, but we will get, obviously we want to cover a lot of these and make a part of the show, and some of these questions and comments are certainly good enough to be like, yeah, we're gonna do a show on that soon, and fitness is one of those, and we'll be doing more nutrition. However, we did have two rides together last week, and both of them really fun, both of them with some progression, very very different rides. Why don't you tell us a little bit about ride number one at our local Smedley, which is an odd place. I always remember it being a cross country place, and now it has all this other stuff. So Smedley is one of your local spots. Tell us a little bit about Smedley.
It's been around for a really long time, and it's gone through a lot of phases of development. I think at one point it got like completely dozed. And then in the last probably about 4 or 5 years, it's really started to pick up momentum again in the mountain bike scene. But yeah, I've been dying to get you over there because what you know of Smedley and what it is now is just completely different. I mean, it's now got some pretty legitimate jumps, and I'd like to say they're professionally built. They are really, really well done.
So and good. Then, yeah, I guess, so impressed.
Yeah, it really is. And then there's a whole other side of the park that is more toward like that drops and slabs and things of that nature. And this stuff is just all relatively new and new to me as well. I mean, we hit stuff for the first time that you and I had never seen before.
It's legitimate building and it's so many different lines. I was there a year ago and it was much smaller with a lot less lines. And I still thought it was awesome. And now there's things there that are, you know, bigger than I'm comfortable with right now. But, you know, it's pretty progressive. You were doing that little side hip jump and I thought you started to look pretty comfortable in the air. And that's what it comes down to, is getting that comfortable arc in the air. So from there, do you want to do the drops or you want me to talk about that slab?
I mean, the drop is, I mean, we're saying drop, but it's kind of like a step down, right? I mean, it's actually very similar to the Hans Ray. I actually think it's bigger than the Hans Ray.
It incorporates really well into what we did on our next ride on Sunday. And so it's a relatively, there's three drops. The first one is relatively easy and instinctive.
Yeah.
The second one is really long and it gaps the trail and it's more of a step down than the drop. The big issue with that one is that the entire run in, once you land the first one, there's very little time in between. And there's just these, horizontal roots.
Yeah, it's like
horizontal roots. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like the entrance of what's the one in top of Skyline, Nikos.
Oh,
drop where it's this is a drop. If you haven't been to Mount Penn and Redding, it's just a drop where it's just like just chunk going into it. We always talk about it because it always makes us nervous. You can't help but stare at the tack.
Yeah.
And you have to be looking forward to the drop. So, and then the last drop on this line at Smedley is kind of like choose your own speed, just massive huck, huge landing. You can send it as far or as little as you want. And then it goes all the way down the hill and then it starts to come back up and there's a step up jump. And if you hit it with enough speed, it kind of takes you right up to the top. And it's just really well built. Again, really well built. Whoever's building this stuff, just impressive. And so I watched Sage do it, and he did it with speed, and he told me exactly how to do it. He said, you hit the first one, don't touch the brakes for the second one, third one, however fast you want, you're pretty much home free. And I was nervous going into it. We hadn't done any drops up to that in that day yet. It was pretty nerve-wracking because it's big, and you don't want to case it. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it felt good. I did it. It felt really good. You said it looked good. The video looked good.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if anybody else does this, but I think I want to start bringing a tape measure with us, because if you think about it, like it would be really handy to measure out the distance, and then we'd have something to compare it to. Because I was looking at the Hans Ray.
Yeah,
yeah. I was looking, and they don't. It's not like tape measure weighs that much.
You know who does that is BCPOV and Yuka. They used to go to bike parks and measure the jumps.
Yeah, I love it, because then it gives you a frame of reference, like, okay, well, I did this one and this one's only a foot longer, or maybe it's even shorter, who knows. But I think that would be, at least for me, it would be really handy to know, you know, because I'm looking at it from the side watching you do it, and I was like, I think this is actually bigger than a Hans Ray. And then we went to Hans Ray and I confirmed, it's definitely bigger than the Hans Ray. Yeah. I mean,
and then when we did Hans Ray, I remember thinking like, oh, well, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, well, in that case, we got Hans Ray, because we hadn't been back to Hans Ray. So we'll get to that in a minute. But excellent point. I love the tape measure idea. Just a little thing you can keep in your pocket, you know. Well, maybe it has to be bigger, depending on how far the jumps are going. You're going to end up out there with one of those big long, like, ones that they use in construction, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that'll be the day. That'll be the day. At that point, we'll be on downhill bikes at Whistler, and it'll be all good. So then Sage had seen the guys at Keswick Cycle riding a slab at Smedley, and he was like, we got to find this slab. So we did find a couple of lines that were advanced but reasonable and didn't dump you straight out into the road. They give you a little bit of a view before you hit the road. And we did both of those. One of them had a pretty steep slab in it that got steeper as it went. And you took a look at it. You didn't like the way it looked. You were really kind of hemming and hawing about it. And it was one of those situations where I took a look at it and I said, yeah, I think I can do this. I was feeling good about it. And you were talking about all the reasons that you didn't feel good about it. And you know how your buddy can sometimes talk you into something, can sometimes talk you out of something.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I think I got it. And so I went up and I did the whole line, which is a nice little run in, and I was able to approach it in perfect control and balance, and
you look
hit
good.
The slab and felt really good, stayed in control, braked. There's a turn right afterwards, and then you did it yourself as well. And how did you feel on it,
Danny? I tell you what, you looked so good that it made me feel better about it. Like I went into it. And here's the thing. Well, no, it wasn't like that. Well, although there is some of that too, you know, between us. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But this
yeah.
wasn't that. This, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners can relate to this, but there are just certain things, certain features that just don't line up with your eye for whatever reason, right? Like for you, Danny, at that one feature on Fox Hollow, that boulder, it's a step up boulder.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it just messes with your head, and there's actually nothing weird about that one, except that it just doesn't suit your eye. And no matter how many, and you've done this thing at least 100 times, and it still causes you pause. And please, if anybody else has a feature like this, I'd love to hear about it. Rideandlaugh1@gmail.com. But for me, I took a look at this slab and I just instantly felt uncomfortable about it. I have done slabs way bigger than this one. I've done slabs deeper than this one. There was just something about the way this one lined up. And then you had mentioned that maybe it's because I hadn't been riding that much. And it's true. I haven't. In the last 2 weeks, I've had to pick up some jobs and things just haven't lined up. But you have been riding some crazy awesome tech in Arizona. So you were kind of like in that flow state. Yes. And, you know, for me,
makes
I was
a big
not.
Difference.
So it does. So those two things, you know, of me not riding and then this thing not lining up in my eye correctly. But I got to tell you, after watching you do it and doing it so controlled, I was like, I got to give this thing a shot. And then, of course, it went, you know, horrible for me. I didn't feel like I was
fine.
In control
it looked
at all.
Fine. You didn't like it, though. It looked fine, but you didn't like it. No,
I did not. Yeah, I did not like it. I'd be curious to see if I went back, if I would feel better about it, you know, that I've gotten some more tech riding under my belt.
What did
again.
You like about it? Well, I mean, because you looked fine. Yeah, I think you said you felt like you were going too fast.
Yeah, I don't know, Danny. It there's something about it that first of all, the slab, it was like two stages. It started out at like a pretty steep angle, but then it like literally looked like it fell off the earth. And I think I like a little bit more consistency in my slabs. You know, I don't want it to be like, you know, concave and then not concave and blah, blah, blah. I like a consistent whatever. But again, I have done slabs like that. I can't explain it, you know?
It was just weird. Choose your slab consistency. You know, I mean, what kind of sport do you think this is?
We have a chart.
You get the slab that's on the mountain. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. You seem like a great slab. You're just not qualified for this particular rider. It's not you. It's me. It's you. It's you.
It's you.
listen, slab. You don't suit my eye. I don't know what to tell you. There's been plenty of other riders that have enjoyed riding you. What do you need me to ride you for? Relax.
I love it.
Slab therapy. We're here for everybody. We're here for everybody.
I love it.
So that was the Smedley ride. And I had been stacking wins. I had been to Arizona and I had been stacking wins. I had been feeling good. You've been working. You were a little under the weather. You didn't get as many rides in. And I pointed that out to you. I said, I've been riding. And I was in Arizona. You ride steeps, or at least I do. I mean, but that stuff is there. Yeah. And so I was feeling more confident on it. It's not like it's not in your wheelhouse. I just think it's a matter of some things you need to get a little bit more warmed up on than other things. And one of the things that you do not need to get warmed up on, because you are intuitively awesome, and I want to learn more about this, are skinnies.
Yes. Because
Sunday, we went to Mount Penn, and the trail builders there, shout out to Dane especially, and anyone who's been working with him, but there's this very meandering cross-country trail there called Twisted Sister that, frankly, was a little bit boring. And I hear it was fun for the e-bike crowd to really open it up. But for us Amish bikes, it was kind of a was a trail that we kind of avoided. And Dane had been dropping hints that he had been doing work there all winter, doing some woodwork all winter. And he had told me about a couple of things that he had in mind and a couple of things he was building. And we just haven't had a chance to go look at this stuff at all. And finally we had a dry day and we're meandering down Twisted Sister to see what Dane has been up to. And oh boy, are there some new badass skinnies at Mount Penn. And one of them isn't on Twisted Sister. The other one was at the top near the wine cellar. That was pretty cool too. Yeah, but the Twisted Sister ones are awesome. And what was your opinion when, or your thought when you started to see these things pop up?
You know, I'm actually really excited because, I mean, we're probably going to talk about the more difficult ones, but there are several different skinnies to choose from. And there are several that are low consequence. I mean, the ones that we were going to talk about today were pretty high consequence. I mean, you have to have a pretty strong pedal kick game. And even then, you could still get hurt if you fell off some of these.
There are some places where the bail was either too high or there was too much stuff there.
That's right.
That you wouldn't,
that's right.
You wouldn't want to jump your bike off of it. Yeah, because there was debris and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there were also many smaller skinnies all along this trail called Twisted Sister. So I don't want to give the impression that progression is not possible there, because if you're someone that struggles with skinnies, there were a few there that were probably less than a foot off the ground that you could just literally bail off to the side. There were a few that started low and then got high or had a crook in it. So really an ideal spot to get started if doing skinnies is something that you're interested in. And the reason why I get excited is because I feel like skinnies is one of those features that I don't think people get into anymore. Like, I feel like it's a very old school tech feature, you know, like back in the day when you used to watch like videos from like Squamish and all, you know, they were building crazy skinnies up in like 50 feet up in the air. And you know, that style of riding, I think, is kind of going by the wayside. I don't know if you agree with that, Danny, but.
Well, you definitely see less skinnies, I guess, than you used to.
Yeah.
But did we used to see that many? I mean, I guess there was a lot at Mount Penn that kind of like fell apart. See in the Northeast, you know, you can build a skinny and it's going to be there for a few years, but the wood will deteriorate. So whereas in the Pacific Northwest, where I think it's, I'm not going to say what type of wood it is. I forget. But the like wood that cedar. They have out there, is it cedar? But
yeah,
the wood that they have out there will last, you know, forever or for, you know, many, many years in the conditions. So if you don't have people maintaining skinnies or building new skinnies, then in the Northeast, skinnies go away. So I think it's a solid point that we probably had seen a lot that used to exist, you know, and you could ride by them sometimes and see them in disrepair. And So I think that is a very legitimate point. Yeah. I wonder if it's because people don't like building them or if people don't like riding them. I think people do like riding them.
No, I think you nailed it the first time, which is it's a lot of maintenance, right? I mean, you and I are always shouting out, you know, our local trail builders, Dane, you know, and the local trail advocates, you know, we have Bamba and we have Burke's Trail Works. Anytime we go to a place, Dane,
absolutely.
That's right. And whenever we go to a place, you know, I'm always conscious about, you know, shouting out the different trail builders. And this is exactly why, because you can build a skinny, you constantly have to maintain the top of it. You know, if you shave it, first of all, it starts with bark. If the bark wears off or you want to shave it down, you're going to have to shave it again because it starts to rot. And so that kind of work, and you're thinking you're lugging all your tools in, You know what I mean? So if, in the case of a skinny, that's a chainsaw. You know, so if you're lugging in gas and a chainsaw, you know, I don't think that a lot of builders are interested in doing that. You know, these days you see a lot more flow and jump lines, which I love. But, you know, this kind of skinny work is less and less available, in my opinion. I could be dead wrong. In any case,
well, they were challenging. Yeah, they were challenging. They were fun. There was some low consequence ones. There were some easier ones. There were some very straight ones. I found myself floundering on all of them, even the straight ones. Well, first of all, my bike is so long that getting onto some of these things is, you know, when you need an enduro turn, which by that we just mean you're kind of squeezing your front brake and moving your back tire to the side. Right. So Sage is really good at that. I'm less good at it, but I could do it. But it's not a comfortable thing to do when you're on top of a log. For me, you're comfortable doing it that way because you practice it. You practice this during, we could probably do a whole episode about this, or at least part of an episode. You practice these sorts of random things when you're just riding. You're just always picking up your wheel and moving it to the side, one side or another, even if you have no need to do so. You talked last week about how much you move on the bike, and then, but these skills, you're refining them during rides, and then they come in handy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You said that exactly right. And I might look like a fool. I might look like, of course, I can't see what I look like, but I am constantly picking up my back tire or front tire, and I'm jibbing and jabbing all over the trail for moments like this, because when I want and need the endo turn, I've been doing all these things throughout the day on the trail. It's there for me. You know, and
you only practice on rides. You're not in your driveway practicing this. That's only practice during rides.
That's right. It's amazing. That's right. Yeah. But you know what? It came in handy because there were a couple of these more higher consequence skinnies that did require a little movement to your back tire. You couldn't have just rolled up onto it. Maybe you could. Now there were a couple that you literally had to move the back tire. And again, that's something that I was really comfortable doing. But you did it too, though. You got all of them.
Well, I guess I did. You did more of them. You attempted more than I did.
Well, that's
true. I wasn't feeling great about it. And there was one very low consequence one, but it was very roller coastery and very, very skinny and had a couple of turns in it. And it was right on the ground. And you, Stick was with us that day. You, Stick, and I tried this. We went at this one probably, you know, half a dozen times each. And nobody... You almost got it. You actually had it and then kind of stalled right at the very end and fell over. You also went over the handlebars on that one. But it was difficult, and I wasn't getting very far at all. I was really front wheeling it. But by that, I mean, I was staring at my front wheel. That is not how you ride a bike. That's not how you ride a mountain bike. That is not how you do skinnies. We'll get more into that later because I think I kind of got over it. But what was so hard about that particular one? What's your technique to get through these ones where there's turns and moves in them?
You know, Danny, that one was the only one that all of us didn't get. And that had a couple different moves that you had to make, or at least mentally you felt like you had to make. In reality, there wasn't. In reality, so when you looked at this thing, it looked like there was all these turns and yeah, there was a step up, a kind of a move in there, but you actually didn't have to do anything. It just looked mentally like you had to do an endo turn or anything like that. When I almost made it, I didn't actually move my back tire at all. I just kind of focused and did it. It was just so long. The amount of focus required to get to the end was just insane.
Yes.
And that's, which I think that's we were all struggling with.
Yeah, that's what I want to lock in on is how you keep that focus. Where does the mind start to go? So, and listeners, comment and on the YouTube channel and Ride and Laugh One at Gmail. How are you at skinnies? Do you struggle at them? Do you find them natural? What do you struggle with? Do you have skinnies in your trail system? And or do you want more? Do you enjoy them? So where are you riding and what kind of stuff are you riding? So Sage, how do you stay locked in? I find this panic feeling. So we have not been visualizing skinnies. Right. We've been riding. Yeah. We've been doing jumps. We've been doing steeps. We've been doing tech. We've been doing slabs. And I've been visualizing this, and I've been writing in my gratitude journal. And I, you know, that I'm good at all these things. And I'll write I'm good at skinnies, but I haven't really been feeling it. You know, I haven't really been feeling it. And this was like a big reminder that, oh, there's another part of mountain biking, and riding skinnies is very different than the rest of mountain biking. It's incredibly unique to the sport. You know, it's like riding your bike fast and through chunk and down really steep things and then jumping. And then, oh, now try to ride on this really thin line that squiggles all over the place. And if you fall off, you might die.
Yes.
What an amazing sport. And mountain biking is the best. I mean, there's so much challenge. So what's your technique? This is the third time I've asked in this monologue, what is your technique for staying locked in till the end of the skinny?
You know, I'm not going to go with the most obvious thing, which is what everyone says, which is get your head up. Like, obviously, get your head up, right? I think if you're just starting out with skinnies, obviously the skinny that you're going to start on out is going to be much shorter. And so the idea is to get your eyes on the exit as soon as possible. If the skinny is straight, you know, so just the minute you get up onto the skinny, however you have to get up onto it, shift your eye over to the exit, and that's it. Stare down that exit until you get to it, you know.
What if you can't see the exit? Well, if you can't see the exit, are you just looking up? Do you pick a spot to look at, and then when you get to that spot, you look up to the exit?
It's a double move, right? So if you're saying if the skinny has a move to get up onto it,
well, it's long enough that you can't see the exit.
Well, that's the thing. So for some of these skinnies that we were doing on Twisted Sister, they're too long. You couldn't see the exit. And so in that case, I'm constantly actually talking to myself to pick my eyes up, because what will happen is I'll focus in on a spot, and then I'll get captivated by that spot, and then I'll forget to. I think it actually happened when I tried to climb the one skinny, and I literally had to verbally tell myself to get my head up, because I could just see myself looking down, and I was like, wait a second. You know, and that's a really scary feeling, to be looking down at your tire and then realize that you're actually looking down at the tire, because that's what's happening, right? You don't even realize that you're looking down, and all of a sudden you're like, where am I? And how do I recover from this? Because once you start going offline, you can't save it, you know? Right. And that's the thing. When you get into the higher, and obviously if the skinny is on the ground, if we're talking about a foot or less than a foot off the ground, no big deal, right? Just roll off of it. When you get into the high consequence skinny where it requires a pedal kick or maybe no pedal kick at all, you really have to be dialed in, and your eyes have to be staring this thing down. Because if you're looking down, I can
feel my heart already like just picturing that. Yeah, I can just thinking about it, I can feel my heart rate increasing.
Yeah, it's, man. But you know what, Danny? You know what? Let's get into it, because that one skinny that you weren't going to even do, that thing had a couple moves in it. So, I mean, you had to get your head up, of course, but then there were all these moves. I mean, this skinny was next level. Let's talk about this one, because I think this is the one that you probably didn't think that you were going to do, and ended up just crushing this thing. But let me see if I can explain it the way I remember it, which is, it starts out with this amazing squirrel catcher. And if you don't know what a squirrel catcher is something that a builder will put in at the beginning of a feature to let you know, hey, is this feature for you? Maybe it's not. If you can't, it's usually at the beginning of a trail. Or beginning of a trail, but you can have one at the beginning of a feature too. And so if you can't do this opening move, you don't have any business doing the rest of it. And so in this case, this skinny started out with I'm going to say it's probably about 8 to 10 feet of a board that goes up this ditch. And the ditch is probably at least 10 feet. I mean, if you fell off of this thing,
picture a big giant tree that fell over and it leaves a hole.
The
skinny is over the hole onto the big giant tree.
Yes.
So you're going up it. You're going, yes.
It's a ramp up. That's correct. And then when you get to the top, I'm assuming Dane built this, because I think he showed me pictures. So what Dane did at the top was he kind of built this little ramp back down onto the tree. So it's a tree that fell over. And so you climb up the root base. And if you're watching this on the YouTube, I'll include the video here. But you get up onto the top of this root base, and then he kind of built a little ramp down that puts you back down onto the trunk of the tree. And about, this is the crazy part, about 10 feet down this tree, he put a teeter totter. And so you're
skinny,
like
a skinnier teeter totter.
A skinnier teeter totter. Yeah, that's right. A skinny on a skinny. But and it is consequence, because it's probably about 4 feet on either side. So if you fell off of this thing, you'd be hurt unless you got a good pedal kick in there. Now as Dane, being the master builder that he is, he did put some brush to fall into. We are giving him credit for everything. I'm pretty sure he did that. I'm pretty sure. In any case,
I gotta ask him.
You finished the skinny. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In any case, you finished the skinny. You still have another 20 feet to go. I mean, it's not like you've done the skinny and then it's over. I'm sorry. You've done this teeter totter and it's over. You have another 20 feet to go. And I took a look at this thing, and unlike the Smedley slab, this thing just suited my eye. Immediately, there wasn't a doubt. I walked up onto it. I double checked the tackiness of the bark. But I right then and there was like, yeah, we're doing this one. Or I said, at least I was doing it. And my instincts were spot on. Everything that I thought that was going to happen happened. And consequently, felt so good about it that I think I talked you into it. And I mean, tell me what was going through your head doing that thing.
Well, you like instantly manifested that for yourself. I mean, I love it when we come up on these things and we're just like, yeah, I got this. I think I got this. And then I know I got this. And you went at that. You went at it. First of all, you, Stick and I saw it, and Stick and I were like, no, absolutely not. We're just watching. Okay, Sage, you want to try it? I didn't even want to get up on it. I was scared of the skinny over the ditch.
Yeah.
And then there's a smaller skinny. I mean, there's three skinnies within this section. That Dane built, or and his buddies. I'm sure he didn't do it by himself. That the guy, let's just say the guy's built, and the easiest one goes over two logs, and then there's another one that's even longer on the other side. Doesn't have a skinny, but it's very, very long. Both of them have bark on them, and Dane says that in the Northeast you can leave that bark on super, super grippy, and you can leave that bark on for about a year until it starts to fall off, and then you have to do some work with a chainsaw probably. And so you went right up the ramp. It is a decline coming into it. So you get a little bit of speed.
Yes.
You went right up the ramp and just started attacking the teeter totter. And you kept falling off to the one side, but you had no doubt in your mind that you were going to do it. You kept saying when you did fall that it didn't hurt because there was that brush there that Dane had put there on purpose, and that now Dane's making mattresses out of and air cushions out of pine needles. I mean, our respect for this guy just continues to go up and up. And so sure enough, you're attacking it. You know you got it, and you did it. And you did it, and it was awesome. And I'm just watching and recording. And then I did the easiest one there. And the ones we had done earlier in the day, I had completed a couple of them, but I had hit that like panic moment that, you know, when I just like, I'm looking down too much. And even though it's like low consequence and it's wide, and I could certainly ride in a straight line. I mean, that's the thing about skinnies. Ride and Laugh One at Gmail and comment. I mean, that's the thing about skinnies, right? It's all about the consequence, just increases the heart rate and staying grounded. And just like in life, if you stare at that front wheel, if you stare at your feet, right, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to. I love the synchronicity between mountain biking and life. You have to. You got to get your eyes up and look at the destination. You have to believe it and see the destination and know you're going to get there and trust your skills, because the skills are in there. The skills are in there. You know how to ride in a straight line. I know everyone here listening is very good at riding in a straight line. So if it's a straight line skinny, and it doesn't matter how far off the ground it is, get your eyes up on that destination. And same thing in life. If you're staring at your feet and you're worried about each step that you're taking, then you're increasing your suffering. But if you get your eyes up and you look at it, so where do you want to be in life? And then you envision that, maybe in a gratitude journal, hint, hint, But you envision that, you're going to get there. And that's awesome. Yeah. And the same thing applies with these skinnies, is if you stare down, you are locking yourself up. You're tripping yourself up and you're giving into all these thoughts, this cascade of thoughts of panic of, oh no, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. And that's the wrong thing. We want, I have it. I have it. I have it. I wanted to get from you, I will tell you the story of me finally getting, breaking through this skinny, but I do want to get from you, so keep this in mind, a word or two that you're saying to yourself when you're doing these skinnies. We've talked about, like, I got it and I'm comfortable in the air. What, you know, is there a mantra that we can use on skinnies to start manifesting that, okay, I'm going to be able to hijack my brain to, so keep that in your call for a second.
Yeah. Okay.
As I'm approaching, okay, so as I did the easier one and it felt fine. And I watched Sage just slay this teeter totter and go at it like with reckless abandon over and over. And I said, well, let me just try getting up on, I think maybe even stick what did it first. Let me just try getting up onto this log.
Yeah.
Let me see how that feels. So that started to look less scary because you were just so confident that, like, hey, this hill gives you the speed. And one thing I noticed, because it's on my Instagram, The Ride Abides as well. Maybe I'll put it on the Ride and Laugh Instagram if you're following that one, or you can check out Ride Abides, or you can watch us on the YouTube. But one thing about the skinny, I watched myself do it on the video a number of times. There's no pedaling. And so it's all slightly downhill. And I had enough momentum to not have to pedal. And Sage knows that I am so much less comfortable when I have to pedal up on a skinny. And you had this whole technique where you're squeezing brake while you pedal. So
that's right.
I kind of want to hear, talk about that for a little bit too. But I guess I went at it 3 or 4 times and I was getting up onto the log, no problem. It's so well built. It's so smooth. I was getting up there with plenty of speed. And then going at the teeter-totter, it just looks very steep. It totters, but you have to get up. You have to teeter first. You got to teeter before you totter. Everybody knows that. You can't totter before you teeter.
You can't. No. It'd
be a disaster. So I would get up onto the teeter, and I wouldn't have enough speed to get the totter. And I would just kind of like fall over. And so I just ended up, like, instead of brake checking going into this thing, because it's scary looking, eventually I got up and I just kept my speed, and you bleed all your speed going up the teeter totter. And then and then it tips. And then after that, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, I'm not messing it up now. You know, I got 20 feet left or 15 feet left of skinny, and I was just locked. And I really was locked into the end. I was so excited to get past the teeter totter. And if you watch the video, there is such an enthusiastic, legitimate yell of joy and accomplishment when I finish. And I love, because Sage is recording it, and you can hear him, like, coaching me to himself. He's like, come on, you got, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. You know,
yes.
And then the stoke afterwards, that's ride and laugh. That's what we're doing. Right. We got back to the parking lot, man. We were floating around that place. We were so excited, and he's so excited for me, and I'm so excited for him. I mean, you know, it's just so neat to have mountain bike friends and encouragement. So I know you were excited about that. What were your thoughts on that? And then do you have a mantra in mind for riding skinnies?
Yeah, you know, I don't have, again, you and I are a little bit different. You know, there are times when I will talk to myself, but I'm not a mantra guy most of the time. But here's what I will say, and I think a lot of people will be able to take away from this, and that is, don't focus on the things that you don't want to happen. That seems like such a simple thing to say and do, but in practice, it becomes really hard. So the first thing that you think about when you get to a skinny like that is, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a 10-foot drop, right?
I don't want to fall off.
That was your first thought. And my first thought when I looked at that was, oh, that's just 8 feet that I have to traverse and it's straight. You know, I didn't think about, oh, what would happen if I fell off? Because that's not the thought that I want at the top of my trailhead. When I'm at the top of my trailhead, I want to think about, okay, it's 8 foot of straight line. I can do that. And so that's what
I
thought
about. What's the best that can happen?
What's the best that can happen? The part,
it literally is.
It really is. So for a skinny like that, I'm breaking that whole skinny up into sections, right? So that opening squirrel catcher is one section for me. The next thing that I'm doing is I'm dissecting the next bit to get to the actual teeter totter, right? So we got up onto that thing. My eyes shift focus, and I'm now focused on how do I get the most straightest possible line to this teeter totter to give myself the most amount of success. The weird part about the teeter totter was I didn't know. We're jokingly saying that Dane gave us, you know, this mattress like pine bed to fall on.
Yes.
I didn't know the first time I went for it. I didn't know that was an option. I thought, well, this is going to suck if I fall into that. So don't think about falling into that. As it turns out, I fell into it and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but I went into it.
We all fell into it like three times.
But I went into it not thinking that I was going to fall into it. And that's important. You know, that mindset of I am a good mountain bike rider. I know how to ride on a straight line. And all I have to do is pretend in my head, just have to tell myself, this is on flat ground. I'm not 4 feet up in the air. I'm on a flat ground and I just happen to be doing a teeter totter. You know, those are the things that I think about, because you had mentioned this before. When you're doing a skinny, everybody can ride a straight line when you're on the ground, right? Like if you think about how wide a skinny typically is, you're probably looking at about a foot, right? Give or take. Some are wider, some are skinnier, but everyone that's ridden single track, proper single track, has ridden on a foot wide trail.
Yeah.
So what's the difference, right? Yeah. The difference is the skinny is up in the air. Right. So if you can eliminate that thought and focus on the positive part, I can ride in a straight line. That's all I'm thinking about. That's all. If you start, you know what? Exposure is the same way. Exposure. When we went to Arizona and you're like, there's exposure to the, and we're talking about, you know, a couple hundred feet of cliff falling. Never even occurred to me. I'm so dialed in onto the trail.
Yes. It didn't bother you. Yeah. And you're famously scared of heights.
I am deathly afraid of heights. That's so true.
I've seen it, everybody. I've seen him like crapping his pants, scared of heights, like immobile, scared of heights. And then you did like a skinny that at one point, a different skinny that at one point was probably like 7 feet off the ground. Plus you're on top of you're riding your bike. So you're probably 10 feet off the ground on like a half a foot of wood and you're fine. Yeah. It's so much approach. I love that. I love the don't think about what you don't want to happen.
That's right.
That is exactly what I did. I looked at all the bad things that could happen and you gotta go in what's the best that could happen. And it's like I was saying before, knowing your destination is important. You don't go to a restaurant and tell the waiter what you don't want to order. Right? Yeah. I'm not going to have this, there's, you know, like, I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. Yeah. There's one thing we want to happen and it's to get the end of that skinny and feel good about it. Absolutely.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. The other tip that I'll give people, actually there's two, and that is, drop the dropper. I know it sounds ridiculous because I've actually seen some people that prefer to ride skinny seated. And that may work when you're on a low consequence skinny, right? That technique could work if you're on a skinny that's straight and maybe it's not that high off the ground. But if you want to progress your skinny riding and you want to start doing skinnies that are higher up the ground or maybe have a move that you have to make, whether that's a dip down or an endo turn, you have to get better at getting up off of that saddle, drop the dropper. And so that what that allows you to do is that allows you to move your body and your bike separately. So I think we've all seen this move where, you know, you're watching a tightrope walker and they put their foot out, you know, one foot's on the tightrope and they're putting their other foot out and they're moving it. I'm doing it like people can see this, but you know, I have to like verbally try to explain this for people that are listening on the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you envision the tightrope walker, you know, they're usually holding that bar and their foot, whichever one's not on the wire, is usually counterbalancing their movements.
Right.
And so on the bike, whether you're clipped in or you're in flats, you can do the same thing. You can move that bike and shift it opposite the way that your body might be starting to fall or lean toward. So that's one. Learn to get now, the dropper
is
down.
Is that something that you would practice on the trail when you're not on a skinny? Is that something that you should be playing around with? Is that something that you play around with when you're just
that
riding?
That's something that you and I both play around with unknowingly because of how much we love slow speed tech, right? Mm. When you're on slow speed tech, you're never seated. I know because I'm you're usually in front of me. You're not seated
for slow speed tech. Yeah,
exactly. So why would you change that for being on a skinny, right? It's the same concept. You have to be able to adjust your body and move your body around. When you're flying down, you know, a downhill, it's less of a concern because your momentum and the gyroscopic effect on your wheels wants to keep your bike upright, right? If you've ever hit a gyroscope and you try and turn that thing, it's really hard. Well, you don't have that advantage when you're doing slow speed tech. Your wheels aren't spinning fast enough for you to have that gyroscopic effect take place. So you really have to be able to move that bike underneath you. And that's just a way that slow speed tech works. And that same concept can be applied to skinnies because most likely you're not going to be flying down these skinnies. I mean, maybe you could. And maybe that's a preference. Listeners, if you have a preference, let me know. I actually prefer to climb a skinny than go down it. I know you do,
which is crazy. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And that's probably my second tip, which is ride the brake. You know, I actually will squeeze the brake and put tension onto my pedals because I don't like that feeling of being loosey-goosey might be a good term to use there. Like I like to feel tension on my pedals as I'm doing these things, and that even if I'm on a downhill skinny, I'll actually still hold the brake and pedal through that. That might be a preference thing, but it really, really helps me. So if you struggle with skinnies, try that sometime. Ride the brake, pedal through it. See if it helps.
RideAndLaugh1@gmail.com. Comment in the YouTube section. What is your technique for skinnies? How comfortable are you with skinnies? Do you prefer downhill skinnies or uphill skinnies? Sage is awesome at all skinnies. It's inspiring. I love it. Cool. I mean, you do them in all sorts of conditions. You do them. The DUI skinny that we do at the top of Mount Penn is in really bad shape, and you still continually go after that thing. And you're really good at the uphill skinny. I'm much more comfortable going down. And if I have to be pedaling, I struggle with that. I know that you've told me about that brake technique to squeeze brake and pedal and what gear to be in. I famously struggle with anything that's feather brake. Yeah. I famously kind of struggle. We joke around that I struggle with something that's more than one move. So
yeah,
if it's just getting on, like sometimes I'm just panicked just getting on and then that's my move. And now I'm on the skinny, but like there was an uphill one that we tried earlier in that day. We did it downhill, no problem. And then you did it uphill and I could get on it uphill, but I was stalling out because once I got on it, I was kind of done. I was not getting my eyes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not getting my eyes up. So, but I'm looking forward to practicing those some more. And those are some really great tips that you gave. And I'm going to be visualizing this and practicing and stacking some wins. And it's really cool that they're there. I'm nervous to see them and do them again, but
yeah.
Cool stuff, man.
We got to cement it in.
Yeah. Really interesting, cool stuff. I know some places in the country don't even have skinnies. Like when I'm in Arizona, you don't really see them cause they're made out of wood. Yeah. They don't really, but they have skinny rock stuff. There's plenty of skinny rock features.
Yep.
It's just different. It suits my eye better for whatever reason. And usually they're not quite as long. Some of these logs are just so long to maintain your focus for that long and just breathe through it and keep believing and keep trusting your skills, stack wins, right? Start on the smaller ones, start on the low consequence ones. We did an easy one that I messed up twice before I got it the third time. And it was easy, but it was long. And by the third time I did it, my breathing slowed down a little bit and it started to like feel like, okay, this isn't so bad. And so it's just like anything. It's just practicing and getting to the destination, keeping your eyes up, using your technique, trusting yourself. So
yeah,
really, really good stuff. Anything else you want to touch on Skinnies before we move on?
No, I do have one more tip, but I'll leave it for the end after the gratitudes.
Okay. Mountain bike gratitude of the week. I have a feeling ours might be the same one, but what do you have today for the gratitude of the week?
You go first then.
Well, I mean, I got to say the Trail Builders, and I know I've already used Trail Builders, but
yeah.
I mean, first of all, we rode at Smedley and they're building awesome stuff there. And so yeah. Gratitude for that. But we were also in some sections of the trail where there was just trees down. And there was just a lot of sticks down, and we hadn't seen that in a while because we ride at Mount Penn so much, and the group of guys at Mount Penn and Birdsboro, which we don't, and French Creek, we don't ride those places as often, but
yeah.
I see on Strava and I see on Instagram, I see those local groups out, and they are cutting down branches and logs and clearing out debris all the time, and so like when we were like running into sticks and things, and branches that were down. It's like, oh yeah, like where we normally ride doesn't just have people building. There's people out there maintaining all the time. There's just people that are going out for hikes with chainsaws. And that is awesome and absolutely invaluable. So I got to say thanks to all the people that are doing all the hard trail work and then building. You know, I mean, you just can't get better. The way the teeter-totter is built is brilliant. I mean, it's really sturdy. Yeah. It's like notched out on both sides. It's super smooth. It's just like... You know, it's just like really high quality stuff, and to have people that are A, that skilled, and B, want to spend their free time. I know the guys that are building that, including Dane and the other guys, anyone else that's building that is building because they want to ride it. But that's right. they also, I know Dane's stoked that other people want to ride it as well. And I'm sure I would be also. It. If I built something like that, I'd want everyone to love it. So thank you. Gratitude to everyone that has maintained our trails and is building new stuff. And if you're one of those people, then thank you and pat yourself on the back. We appreciate it. What do you got, Sage?
Yeah. You know, I would second that, but I'll try and go a little bit different route. And I'm going to say I'm really grateful for this platform. I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful for this platform. I love that you and I can do this and reach all these new people. And I love that they can reach us and getting that comments and the feedback from our listeners and actually learning something, right? Learning about other people and what they like and what they don't like, asking us questions and we being able to propose new questions. Like this platform didn't exist not that long ago, you know? And so I'm really grateful that we have this, you know, not for each other, because it's great talking to you, but to be able to share this with all of our listeners.
We'd be having this conversation anyway. We say it all the time. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Our normal after work conversation anyway.
Yes,
so I'm like trying to pick Sage's brain on how he does skinnies so that I can improve doing skinnies.
We actually do that. That's right. Yeah. That's usually a lunch conversation.
Now but, I'm pretending that it's for everyone else's information, but really.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
All
for me. Oh man. So my tip of the week is actually something that we can all do on any bike. And I'm going to use my road bike as an example here. But if you are trying to get better at skinnies, one of the things that I do on my road bike is I actually try and stay on the white line or the yellow line, whatever, however the roads are labeled in your area. And you can do this with any bike. I just happen to do this on my road bike. I try and stay on that white line, the shoulder line, as long as I possibly can. And I got to tell you, it really, really works to get your eyes up, first of all, because if you stare straight down at that white or yellow line, you cannot stay on it. You cannot stay on it. But if you learn to look 20, 50 feet ahead, it really makes a huge difference. So, that's my mountain bike tip on a road bike for the week.
Do you ever pretend that it is 30 feet in the air?
No, because I don't think about the negative. No, because I don't think about the negative.
Right. What's the best that could happen?
That's right.
What about just riding on curbs and things like that?
Just riding on the curb.
Yeah, like just trying to stay on the curb. Like if you're out like for a bike ride in your neighborhood, just getting up on the curb and trying to maintain your balance, something like that.
I do use curbs, but not in that way. That might be a whole different mountain bike tip. But yeah, I use curbs not as skinny practice, but that might be a really good thing too, trying to stay on the edge of the curb without falling off to the side. Yeah, I've never tried that before. Yeah.
Before the mailbox.
Before the mail, that's right. Yeah. I've used curbs to like work on my endoturn step ups, but that's completely different. Yeah.
Oh, but you know that thing and difficult. Yes. I've seen you do it on steps, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. That endoturn has come in handy. That's something I need to practice more. So
that's a whole nother episode, man.
That is another episode, and we love talking bikes. If you're still listening, you are definitely one of us. You're a mountain biker. You love bikes. We love bikes. Thank you so much for listening. Rate and subscribe. Give us a 5-star review on your podcast player. Download the episodes, auto-download, whatever you got to do to help the algorithm get us out to more people. We love riding. You love riding. We appreciate you. Ride and laugh.
I'll see you, everyone.